So good to be here with you. It's good to have my brother and sister-in-law here with me, Marshall and Emily. They're here because my dad and mom are in Alabama right now in the Athens area, and their dad's doing an awesome meeting there over evangelism. And so he's going to be back on Monday. So it'll be good to have him back, but it's been good spending the week with Marshall and him. So what we're going to be studying today, we're going to be looking at some things that we realize that there are things that take our complete and undivided attention. Our health, our finances, our education, our recreation. And a month ago, many people around the whole country and around the whole world made resolutions to be able to keep these focus on these things. And so a revolution health group on February 4, 2008 read this in an article that they wrote that year. Too few people are able to reach their healthy living goals, and too many quit after one failed attempt. A recent survey by Franklin Covey found that only 23% of those who made a New Year's resolution will keep it. Half of those who fail to reach their goals, more than 35% of all those who made resolutions, were likely to break their resolutions by the end of January. By the end of January, half of those people who failed to reach their goal would stop at that time. At the congregation in Blue Springs where we attend, Jim Bailey, one of our preachers, he made this sermon of a New Year's resolution sermon. And he was saying all these things that we could be able to fix within this next year, our relationship to God, our relationship to our family, our spouse, our children, and all these different things that we need to be able to make a resolution for and to focus more on God. Challenging us to keep closer to God this year. In Luke 9, in verse 23, if you'd like to mark your Bibles there, we'll be turning back to it after every point that we make. Luke 9, verse 23. It's very familiar to all of us. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the point that we're going to be making with this sermon. We're going to be seeing that being able to serve Christ should be fit into our daily schedule. Not something that we make a resolution for at the beginning of the year and then we stop it by the end of January or sometime throughout the year. It's something that we have to make a commitment to every single day. It's something that we need to set into our schedules and worked around, and not it being worked around our schedules. So that's what we're going to be talking about. The title of this lesson is Daily Schedule. What we need to be looking at every single day through Luke 9 and verse 23. So the first point we see, it says, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself," and then later on in the verse, "daily." He must deny himself daily. So what are we looking at when we say that we must deny ourselves? Let's look over in Titus 2. Titus 2, if you'll please turn there with me. Titus 2, and we'll be looking at 11 through 13. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." So whenever we say that we are denying ourselves, we're humbling ourselves and denying sin and all worldly desires. Everything that is of the world, we are going to deny. And as it says, we're going to be searching for salvation, bring salvation to all men. And then down in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So whenever we are denying ourselves daily, we are denying sin and searching for salvation. And whenever we do deny ourselves, it is complete sacrifice of ourselves. Over in Mark 14, we'll be looking at 30 and 31. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." But Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all were saying the same thing also. It must be a complete sacrifice of ourselves. Even though we see later on in the passages that Jesus was correct, that Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. Even then, before that, Peter made a commitment that we should be able to make as well. He said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." That's something that we should say to ourselves every day. That even if we go through trials, even if we have to die for Christ, we're going to serve Him. We're not going to deny Him. And in the same way, all the apostles said the exact same thing, saying they would not deny Christ. Over in Titus 1 and verse 16. Titus 1 and verse 16. It reads, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." It is by our actions that show if we are denying Christ or not. If we are doing things that are ungodly, if we're doing things that aren't befitting of a Christian, we are showing the world that we are denying Christ, and we are showing Christ that we are denying Him. But it is not Him that needs to be denied. It is our sin and the worldly desires of it. So as we look back in Luke 9, in verse 23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself daily." That's the first point we've seen, that we must take ourselves, humble ourselves as low as we possibly can. And I'd like to show that even Jesus, while he was on his way to the cross, being crucified, he didn't have to deny himself, but he had to humble himself before he could do that, because he said, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But it's not my will, but your will be done," he said to his Father. He had to humble himself to be able to be crucified. And before we can be able to send ourselves up to the cross, we as well must deny ourselves. We must humble ourselves and make sure that sin is not what our focus is, but it is Christ when it is our focus. So it is a daily work. We are daily denying. So going on with the verse, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross daily." That's the next point we're going to be looking at. Over in 1 Corinthians 4, we'll be looking at 11 through 13. "To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. And we toil, working with our hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. When we have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now." Whenever we say that we're taking up our cross, What we're saying is that we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through difficulties in this life. But we're going to endure. We're going to bless. We're going to conciliate. We're going to do all these things that Paul said whenever he was reviled. We're still going to be able to work because we are going to endure by taking up our cross daily. We are going to do the right thing and the just thing in God's eyes. So what is it that is going to be driving us? Over in Hebrews 12, another well-known verse to us all. Hebrews 12. We'll be looking at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, it's just been talking about the faith of all these very just men of the Old Covenant, all these just men. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The goal of serving the Lord, the goal of doing what the will of the Father is what's going to drive us to endure. It's going to make us want to stay because, as it says here, this, as just in a race, you see the goal of that finish line. You see that goal that is what you have been longing for miles upon miles running this race. And even though you went through trials to get there, even though you are tired and you are sick and you are lonely running through this race, you know that at the end, there is a goal. And you know that at the end, there is a reward. That's what's going to drive us. The goal of being in home, at home with heaven, in heaven with God, and being able to do what is right in God's eyes. But there's another thing that's going to drive us, and that is love. We remember in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, love endures all things. Love endures all things. It is love that will drive us to endure those things because of our love for God and our love for serving Him and seeing that goal. Over in 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, just a few pages over. 1 Peter 2 in verses 18 through 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, for the sake of conscience, to reward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. He was telling these servants and possibly even these slaves that even if your master beats you, even if your master beats you even close to death, even if your master doesn't feed you very well or clothe you or give you good shelter, even if your master doesn't do any of these things, you must endure. No matter how much we are mistreated, no matter how much we are persecuted, no matter how close we are to death because of our faith, we must endure because we are taking up that cross daily. We are doing the right thing because it is from God. We're going to take up our cross even when we are mistreated. But this taking up of our cross, we don't have to do that alone. Over in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. In And we'll be reading in verse 32. As they were coming out, they found him, and this is right as Jesus is about to bear his cross. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. Even Jesus needed help bearing his cross, because it was a long road to get to Golgotha, where he would be crucified. It was a long and tiresome road where he would be spat upon and beaten. A long road that he needed to have help taking a journey down. In the same way, we need help as well sometimes. I know there's a verse that says that, over in Galatians, it says that we are to bear one another's burdens, but I'd like us to look in Romans. Romans 15. And this can give us a good idea of building one another up. Romans 15, and we'll be looking at 1 through 3. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whenever we are strong, there's those that are weak, those that need help being to built up, needing help to be built up. And we can do that for them. We can be able to bear their cross with them so that they will not have to bear the cross alone. It is something that we must do to be able to help one another, to be able to build each other up for their edification and for our edification. Because the stronger we make the weak, the stronger that we can be as well. Endurance will also lead to salvation. Matthew 10, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 10, 21 and 22. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. No matter if we lose our best friend, no matter if we lose all the friends we have, no matter if we lose our whole family, we must endure. Because our reward is heaven. We will be rewarded with salvation if we endure. Being able to be saved from our sins in heaven if we endure. We can be able to do this no matter how many people we leave behind. We can be able to do this because God has promised it to us. As we return to Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross daily. It's something that we must fit into our daily schedules. Being able to suffer through all the pain and suffer through all the anguish and persecution that we will go through. Because there will be a reward in the end for our enduring. Taking up. And for a final point from this verse. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must follow me daily. Now we'll be looking at following Christ every day of our lives. Over in Mark 7. Mark 7. We'll be looking at 6 through 8. Mark 7, 6 through 8. And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. We must follow Christ, and we must follow God, because we cannot follow man. If we follow man, our end will be destruction. And we'll be looking at that later. But we must follow Christ, because Isaiah said that those people were hypocrites for saying that we did follow Christ, but not actually doing it. Because we were following the precepts of man. It is not man who needs to be impressed, but it is God who needs to be glorified. To follow Jesus, all must be forsaken if we are to be pleasing in our service to Him. In Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, we'll be looking at 27 through 30. Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. You also will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." To follow Jesus, we must forsake everything. We remember of a man who came to him, to Jesus, and said, "Jesus, let me bury my father before I follow you." And he even denied him that, saying that let the dead bury their own dead. We must completely send back to the past everything that we had to follow Christ. We must leave. It may be that we have to leave our homes. It may be that we have to leave all these different things to be able to follow Christ. Because Christ is the one who needs to be glorified. Because we will not be pleasing if we have not forsaken everything that we have. In Philippians 3, and we'll be looking at 17 through 19. Philippians 3, 17 through 19. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love..." Philippians 3, verses 17 through 19. I apologize for that. "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." We just talked about that we must deny ourselves. Because if we don't deny ourselves, we're going to follow the precepts of man. We're going to follow our own desires and our worldly lusts. And so, we must follow Christ. If we do not follow Christ, as we see here, our end is destruction. In verse 19, "whose God is their appetite and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." If we don't follow Christ, our end will be complete and utter destruction for all eternity. That's something that none of us desire, and something that God doesn't desire for us either. For our last point in daily following, we remember the verse in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Something that I think that I've said in every single one of my sermons, I've used this verse. We show our love by following Christ. If we don't follow Christ, we show that we don't love him whatsoever. We must follow the commandments of God. Otherwise, our love isn't there. So as we return to Luke 9. Luke 9 and verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must follow me daily. Following Christ is something that we must do every single day of our lives. It's not something that we can just do one day and then the next be uncertain if we really want to. It's something that we have to do every single day of our lives to be able to be rewarded for it, or we will be destroyed. It's something that we must fit into our daily schedule. As we conclude, I'd like us to look at one last passage in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we'll be looking at 2:11 through 13. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. It's a trustworthy statement. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The second half of verse 12. If we deny him, he will deny us. As we've talked about, we must be daily denying. It's something that we have to do every single day of our lives, because if we deny him, there's no way that he can be in fellowship with us. He has to deny us. The first half of verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure, if we go through all these trials and tribulations and all these persecutions, we're going to reign with him someday. We're going to be able to be comforted, and we're going to be in the arms of God and in the arms of Jesus and kneeling at their feet, because we will reign with Christ if we endure all these things that we have trouble with. And finally, if we are faithless, if we don't do these works, if we don't follow him, we still have Christ. He's still going to be there, no matter if we're following him or we're not following him. But he is still there, because he cannot deny himself. He is still faithful. But that's not a way to make it so that we can just do whatever we want, and he will still be there for us. We must follow him. We must be faithful to him. We must deny ourselves the pleasures of sin every single day. We must take up our cross and endure in our faith every single day. And we must work to follow all that Christ commands us every single day. Christ had to humble himself before he went to the cross. Christ had to bear a cross up with the help of others. He had to bear his cross up, but he saw the goal. He saw that it was God's will that would be done. And we need to do the same every single day. And we must work to follow all that God commands and all that Christ commands us every single day. Just as Christ did when he was crucified on the cross, following what God had set up for him. If you feel in any way that you have not been enduring, you have not been denying yourself those sins that have been in your way. You've not been enduring those trials and have been succumbed to those things that get in our way. If you have not been doing and following what Christ commanded us to do, and if you feel that you need to come forward before the congregation and repent of these things because you wish to do exactly what God commanded you, and you wish to come after Christ, just as this verse stated, then now is the time to do that. If there are any here who need to be baptized because they did not understand whenever they were first immersed, and if you feel that you need to recommit your life to Christ, if you need any need whatsoever, please, we ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.